Like, dude, I'm watching these Derrick Henry Instagram videos
the workout
of him
videos.
Working out. Yeah. And I'm just like, my God.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Chasing It here on the 33rd Team. Trey Wingo here with Chase Daniel. Chase, we are in the thick of what March Madness really is. There was a time, you know, 20 years ago when March Madness meant college basketball. That ship has sailed, my friend. March Madness is now all about NFL free agency and everybody moving and shaking, getting ready for the draft. And obviously, both of those things combine in Chicago, where the Bears have the number one pick and I believe the number nine pick overall because of their dealings last year. And they still have Justin Fields. With all the quarterback moves that we've seen, Chase, is there a market for Justin Fields at this point when it comes to a trade?
There is zero. Double zero. Zero trade market right now for Justin Fields. Look, the Chicago Bears thought that they were going to have the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons in the race to be like, okay, we're probably going to get a fourth, fifth round pick, maybe get a sixth. I had a feeling around the league when I was talking, it was going to be a fifth round pick. Look, Justin Fields is only making $3.2 million in cash this year. So it's not a lot of money. So in my opinion, what does that say about Justin Fields, first of all? I think he's an excellent quarterback, can be with the right pieces around him. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. We're not going to get into that factor of it, but I do think the dude can play. Secondly, are people not willing to trade? I don't think that's the case. I think the case is like the Russell Wilson thing to Pittsburgh really screwed up Justin Fields' trade market, because Russell Wilson is now playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers for $1.21 million. And the Denver Broncos are on the hook for $38 million.
I was about to say, yeah, he's getting a lot more for the team he's not playing for.
But, we'll talk about that in a second. It's crazy to me. The fact of the matter is that all these Chicago Bear fans, and I love, Trey, I love Chicago Bear fans. I played for them. I love my time there. But they take everything so literal. They're coming at me left and right on social media saying, hey, you were on the Justin Fields bandwagon. Why are you off? You're saying the Bears are going to pick Caleb Williams. Like, you're a traitor. I'm like, hold on. First of all, I don't owe anything to the fan base. Second of all.
By the way, Chase, first of all, you're realizing fan is short for fanatic. Okay.
Yes, so that's true.
Put that
that's
in context. True. Yeah.
But second of all, I never once said I thought that the Chicago Bears should draft Caleb Williams. Okay, they will draft Caleb Williams. The question becomes, what do you do with Justin Fields? And it makes perfect sense right now at this current landscape of zero trade interest to keep Justin Fields on the roster.
Because you're 100% right. You're 100% right.
And Caleb Williams, they can afford it, Trey. Like, that's the biggest thing. Caleb Williams will get a $25 million signing bonus. Justin is on the market. Cash payout is $3.2 million. $28 million for two quarterbacks. It's better than having one. You don't know what you're going to get. And when starter goes down and when a starter gets hurt, which it will happen, and you saw last year there was 13 or 14 NFL
so
starters
backups.
Got hurt.
Yeah. So many Chase Daniels out there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so that, in my opinion, you got to keep both.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
I agree. Unless someone's going to give you an absurd amount for that first overall pick, you take it and you pick Caleb Williams, and then you have right now the Bears quarterback situation is they're trading from a position of weakness, right? If they get both these guys, suddenly they'll be able to deal from a position of strength. Because you're right, whether it was in Jacksonville or whether it was in Cincinnati or wherever, we saw so many backup quarterbacks last year. In Minnesota, they went through everybody, right? Obviously, the Jets had their issues. There's going to be an injury, and someone's going to need a proven starter. Maybe not a franchise quarterback, but a proven starter. And here's the other thing that everyone needs to calm down about, okay? Everyone is always hyped to draft a quarterback until you draft the wrong one. right? And yeah. then it's the worst thing in the world. Let's just go back 3 years now, 3 years, to the vaunted 2021 draft class. Okay?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence taking number one overall. By the way, he should have been by every valuable metric. I mean, he was as highly rated as a lot of guys have been. But let's be honest. They had 1 year where they made the playoffs. I'm giving him a pass on his Urban Meyer year because Urban is the worst coach in the history of the NFL.
Let's give him a pass.
So I'm giving a pass on there. So they make the playoffs and they come back from 27 points down to win. But they regressed this past year. They went 8-3 and then they went they finished 9-8. He was third in the league in fumbles. He had more interceptions and three fewer games played. And the offense took a step back with better weapons around him. So I think Trevor Lawrence can still be a great quarterback. It's not a guarantee. Number two overall pick in 2021, Zach Wilson. The Jets cannot get rid of him fast enough, and they're lucky to get a tackling dummy or a piece of gum for Zach Wilson. Number three pick in the 2021 draft, quarterback Trey Lance. The Niners traded him already. He was inactive for the Cowboys' blowout loss at Green Bay, their third-string quarterback. He did not see the field. Now, I still think he has potential. The point is, third overall pick, this is not what you want. Now we go to the next pick in the draft, and that was Justin Fields. I think he was 11. Justin Fields was 11th overall, and they're debating whether or not they can get anything for him. And Mac Jones was the 15th overall pick, and they just traded him for a six-rounder. So everyone loves the idea of Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, any of the, you know, Penix from Washington, Bo Nix maybe from Oregon. Everyone loves these quarterbacks. Realize most of them will not make it. Most of them will not be what you want them to be. So that's why it also makes as much sense as possible. If you can't get good trade value for Justin Fields, keep Justin Fields, draft Caleb Williams, and then let it all play out. Because that's the only way anybody's going to know anything anyway.
And people are saying, hey, you know, what about the locker room dynamic? What about the locker room dynamic? Justin's an excellent human being, an excellent teammate, an excellent person. Everyone I've talked to and asked about it, he could handle it. Okay, and why not use him if he's – try to keep him healthy-ish. Why not use him 8 to 10 snaps a game? Because he's a dynamic runner. Look, at the end of the day, who knows what's going to happen. But I just don't think right now you can trade a guy that is a legit quarterback in this league to someone to go be a backup. Look, Ryan Poles said at his one of his press conferences when he was talking about you know, like the end of the season and stuff like that. And it happened a month ago. He's like, we're going to do right by Justin Fields. And okay, that's great. You do right by Justin Fields by setting him up for success and not trading him to some team to be a backup. Look, he's a bargain right now for any team. Probably going to decline the fifth-year option, whoever trades for him, okay? And then renegotiate a contract. That's what I would see happen. And it just makes all the sense in the world because Justin has the fans. He has the locker room. He has everything. You're probably going to take a quarterback at one because Caleb Williams, in my opinion, of the guys you said, Trey, and you hit all of them, which, nice job. You hit all of them, all the ones that matter. And if you look at the Caleb Williams, it's like one by a far way. And I do think Jaden Daniels is creeping up in there, and we've talked about it before. But Caleb Williams is the pick. And it would be it'd have to be a historic haul, in my opinion, for Ryan Poles to trade out of the one pick because it just doesn't make sense right now. But what else doesn't make sense is trading Justin Fields. And I'm just looking at it, Trey. Let's go back just to the money. $28 million for two quarterbacks. That's a bargain in today's NFL, especially with the salary cap rising. It makes sense. Just keep them there. Everyone needs a good backup quarterback. That you see the backup quarterback market right now. It's like $7, $8, $9 million for a backup quarterback. Teams are understanding what happened last year, and there's these five or six guys right now that are getting a chunk above that. It just makes sense to keep Justin Fields unless you're able to get a fifth round pick, which I don't think they are. But there's no one else out there to trade.
And again, think about it. 3 years ago, he was the 11th overall pick, and now you can't get a fifth rounder for him. So just buyer beware during all of these situations. All right, you mentioned money. We cannot go a single second further without praising Kirk Cousins.
Kirk.
Okay? Like, you can say whatever you want about him as a player. That's fine. You can point to his shortcomings. That's fine. You can point to the fact that he has one playoff win, I believe, on his resume. That's fine.
One.
The dude is a money-making machine. And people are like, oh, he's stealing. He's not stealing. They're begging him to take the money. It is the exact opposite of stealing. He's not stealing anything. They are literally throwing boatloads of cash at him. Kirk Cousins will never sniff Canton, Ohio and the Pro Football Hall of Fame unless he has some amazing play and they get his jersey or his shoes from something like that. But this dude has figured the money side of this out to perfection. You look at the franchise tags he played in Washington, then the first fully guaranteed deal he got with Minnesota, then another guaranteed deal he got with Minnesota, and then this next deal with Atlanta. The man has made a fortune, and do not hate him for it. Appreciate him for it.
Yeah, and honestly, Trey, I've always been told when I was going through free agency and when I was getting these bigger contracts that I was getting is my agent was like, look, it just takes one team, okay, to get to love you. And you are – the value you're worth is what someone's willing to pay. So teams out there understand that we have a quarterback issue and problem in the National Football League. There are just not enough starters. You take maybe 10 guys – nine guys in the NFL right now, teams would love to have. And the rest of them, the rest 22, 21, 23 guys, they're interchangeable. So when you tell me Kirk Cousins is able to go out and get $100 million guaranteed in an APY of $45, $46 million a year at 35 years old coming off an Achilles, what does that tell you? That that teams believe he's a top 10 guy. And I do. Look, there was this issue with primetime Kirk. He couldn't win the primetime game. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. He finally got that monkey off his back this past year because I thought he played really well. Then he has the one playoff win against New Orleans and the crazy fade throw in the back left corner of the end zone. That was an amazing win. Okay? Yeah. He hasn't broken through in the playoffs. But, dude, I love this move for the Atlanta Falcons. And they are in a super winnable division with the Saints, the Bucs, the Panthers. And the Falcons, in my opinion, they just went out. They just got Darnell Mooney, speed threat. They got Drake London. They got Kyle Pitts. They got Bijan Robinson. They got a decent offensive line. They're one guy away, and that's a quarterback, from competing. And so I love the fact that they went out and got him. And everyone's like, well, did the Atlanta Falcons overpay? Did the Vikings lose a trade? No. Like, in my opinion, it just makes sense. Like, in my opinion, the Atlanta Falcons, I don't care how much you paid, they won this deal. Now you look at Minnesota, they signed Sam Darnold 1 year, $10 million deal. I know for a fact they love Drake May. Right now, they are picking 11. Drake May is not going to be there at 11. What are you willing to give up to move? You get Sam Darnold in a similar scheme with Kevin O'Connell, with everyone that has been in that offensive system, you get them for 1 year, and you're hoping to God that it works out. Because you had Kirk Cousins. You could have paid him. And you have a proven commodity at the quarterback position. And you are not willing to go to a price to get Kirk Cousins. By the way, you have Jordan Addison. By the way, you have Justin Jefferson, which is probably going to resign and be one of the richest receivers in the history of the league, which big is crazy. Money. It's going to be big money. So I think the Atlanta Falcons, like, bravo to Terry Fontenot for going out there and getting their guy and being willing to go to whatever level it takes. Because in my opinion, first and foremost, you got to worry about the division. You can win that division, and they become the betting favorite since Kirk Cousins has signed. So I like this so much for the Atlanta Falcons. The Vikings, on the other hand, I don't know. Like, you need a quarterback in this league right now. I don't know. Yeah.
They're open for business, basically, is what they are. By the way, a couple of things here before we move on. I love the fact that you said APY, average per year. Understand that means nothing. You see all these contracts coming out right now and say, whoa, signed this 2-year deal that could be worth up to $15 million. That could be worth up to. No. Could be worth up to means you'll never see that money.
Nothing.
Okay?
Nothing.
Could be worth up to means by the time that money kicks in, you won't have that contract. Okay? The only thing you need to focus in on right now when all these numbers, and the agents do this because they want to have the number attached to their deal, making it look better. But the agents selling this stuff to the insiders and pushing it know it's all bullshit. Okay? The only numbers that matter are the guaranteed dollars. Everything else is written in invisible ink, and it could go away in a heartbeat, and you'll never see it. So whenever you see, you know, whether it's Adam or Ari or Ian or Tom Pelissero or Jay Glazer, whomever, hey, it could be worth up to, that doesn't mean shit. It means here's the guaranteed money, and that's all you're getting.
And even a different layer for the football fanatics out there, because you said fanatics earlier, so I figured I'd reuse it, is there's three levels of guarantees in NFL contracts. There's an injury guarantee, there's a cap guarantee, and there's a skill guarantee. The cap and skill guarantee means if you see that, that is absolutely the second you sign that contract, you're getting it unless you retire. The injury is different, okay? The injury isn't necessarily you're getting the money as soon as you sign and we'll see it. That's if you actually get injured playing, then 10 more million of it or whatever the guarantee for injury goes in. So I really think you got to look at skill and cap guarantee. Now, a lot of teams put the injury guarantee to trigger a previous year, and that makes sense to make that money. But that's what Kirk got. Kirk got $100 million guaranteed. Wow. 90 of it was for skill and cap. There's a $10 million injury guarantee that in 2025 triggers for 2026. So technically, it's a $100 million deal, but not a $180 million deal. There's a big difference.
Correct. Well, by the way, speaking of injury guarantees, that's really the reason we're talking about this next player, Russell Wilson. He would not give up his injury guarantees, and that's why they wanted to bench him with 9 weeks to go in the season, which we all knew was going to be the end of that relationship. He goes to Pittsburgh. I got to tell you, I really like this move. I like this move because Kenny Pickett was terrible, and Mitch Trubisky, you know, couldn't get it done, so they went to Mason Rudolph. Pittsburgh has weapons. They have wide receiver weapons. They have Najee. They have a tight end. I like this move. If Russell Wilson is any good at all, and we'll find out, because it wasn't, you know, it was really uneven at best for him those 2 years in Denver. And you can point to some games where he played much better this year, and I understand that. But he also missed a lot of wide open wide receivers.
Yeah.
If Russell Wilson can be close to what he was his last few years in Seattle, this is a really good signing and a really good pickup for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the downside of it is very little for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think that's what Mike Tomlin and those guys over in Pittsburgh were thinking. Hey, we can go out and get Russell Wilson, and we can pay $1.2 million of his salary, that's guaranteed, by the way, to be able to have him come in and compete. And they want to say it's a competition. You don't sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers if you are not told by Mike Tomlin or the GM or whoever it is, the owner, you're the starter. You don't do that with all the baggage he brings, with all the stuff that he brings. And I guarantee you in that meeting on Friday, this past Friday, they met for 6 hours. I guarantee you 5.5 hours of it was, hey, what are you going to do within our locker room? Because they're one of the great locker rooms in the NFL. And the issue hasn't necessarily always been the on-field play of Russell, because I honestly think just from a pure standpoint of playing this year, when he was protected with Denver, he played pretty well. But he was like a human pinball back there with it. Yeah. If you protect him and give him a chance with Deontay Johnson, with George Pickens, with Najee, with all the tight ends that they have a decent offensive line. They went out and got they're going to have to get a new center. Obviously got rid of him. Like, all this stuff makes sense. But I think that was what that six-hour meeting was like almost a come-to-Jesus moment. Like, hey, Russell, who are you as a player person now? Like, personality in the locker room. Not what can you do for me on the football field. That'll take care of itself. How are you going to act? Are you going to bring your whole circus with you? Are you not? So I do like this move. I think it's very low risk. If Russell doesn't, you know, play well, then you're going to go back to Kenny Pickett, who you picked in the first round.
Well, listen, here's the interesting thing about that. That's been Russell's MO for the last 6 years, okay? I mean, there's a reason that Seattle was willing to part with him. They wanted to draft Drew Lock in 2019, all right? They wanted to draft Drew Lock. You know this. They wanted to draft Drew Lock in 2019. Russell found out about it, and he got that deal, with that new deal before the draft, which was really strange. He has a personality that rubs people the wrong way, okay? Even when they were winning in Seattle, like, some of his teammates did not like him. They just didn't, okay? So to your point, it is many times with Russell about the other stuff, as opposed to his play. Now, obviously, with Hackett, that was a disaster. And Sean Payton, and he never meshed. And it's going to be the other stuff that he's going to have to clean up. But you're 100% right about that. Although I will say he's off to a much better start. He is in Pittsburgh than he was in Denver. The Broncos country let's ride thing was terrible. To post Renegade, that's a man who knows his audience.
I agree.
That's a man who you have Yinzers just like cutting their veins. Jabbing in my veins right now. Let's go.
Yellow,
put it in. Yinzers, he knows how to get the Yinzers right now. And his first step, very, very good.
Very good.
Before we move on from quarterbacks here, there is the Gardner Minshew situation in Vegas, but obviously they're going to try and find something else. Are you surprised that that hasn't been a market yet for Justin Fields because of Luke Getsy being there, the former offensive coordinator in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that was my next step in the process when I'm looking at Justin Fields and who is he going to fit, who is he going to go. It was the Raiders because, quite honestly, they got some good weapons. They have Luke Getsy is there. And look, what I heard was Getsy loves him. I heard the front office, not so much. So at the end of the day, you went with Gardner Minshew. And look, Gardner Minshew had the Colts on the brink of the playoffs. Like, he has played exceptionally well. Like, I know that Las Vegas will be in the market for another quarterback, but this gives them, the Raiders, a really good shot at just being able to compete this year. They're going to win by their defense. Obviously, Gardner's going to do what he does. He's not going to turn the ball over. If he plays well enough, then I think they got a chance. Look, but like you said it before the show, who else is still in that division?
That would be the
Patrick
Kansas
Mahomes.
Chiefs.
Yes. And so everything that these teams do, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers, all these teams in the West, all they should do is try to beat the Chiefs. And then if you beat the Chiefs and you can get a division, which it doesn't seem like they're going to give up this year because they're going for a three-peat, that's it. I don't know if Gardner Minshew is on that level, but I do think that just screams like bridge guy, paying good money, let's draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing, too, we must acknowledge Max Crosby and Gardner Minshew are now teammates after the incident.
That's unbelievable.
After all of that. That went down. So, all right. So let's move on now to this. The running back market, I think, has been active and interesting. But again, none of these guys are getting big money, though, right? They're not getting big money. They're getting the deals that could be the running backs are the poster child for they could be worth up to deals, right?
Well, that's Josh Jacobs. No, it's Josh Jacobs. That's the worth up to. So Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay. Okay, he's done a 4-year, $48 million deal. You look at the actual terms of the deal, it's a 1-year, $12 million deal. Like, $12 million deal. That is all that's guaranteed, a true year-to-year situation. So, yeah, like you were saying, though, like, that's the poster child. I wanted to get that in because it's like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Like, okay, Josh Jacobs is great. It's $12 million bucks. That's it. And, an agent says it's 4 years, 48.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
And that's less than franchise tag for running backs last year.
Yes.
Like, that's basically what it is. So people like they're looking at, again, look at these numbers the right way. People, look at that. They're paying all these running backs. They're not. It's all window dressing and sound. And by the way, another reason why I don't ever want to hear someone say a player should honor their contract. Aaron Jones was awesome for the Green Bay Packers last year. Not good. He was freaking awesome.
Amazing.
He carried them in that Cowboys playoff win, and he was also fantastic against San Francisco. And as soon as they got a cheaper option, then they know what they could have to sign him for. See ya. Okay? Yeah. So there is no loyalty in this business. There is no home team discount whatsoever. So understand that. I do love Derrick Henry in Baltimore, though. I do love that move just for what they are and how they're going to need to proceed. Gus Edwards was great for them. He goes now to replace your boy Eckler with the Chargers, who goes to the Commanders. We're seeing all these moving parts. But I really, really, really like the idea of Derrick Henry in Baltimore.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it fits what they want to do from a offensive standpoint, and they just want to be bruisers running the ball. Derrick Henry, like, dude, I'm watching these Derrick Henry Instagram videos,
the workout
of him
videos.
Working out, and I'm just like, my God, like, this
he's a freak
is
show. He's a freak
absurd.
Show.
Absurd. He still got it. He needed a new start, fresh start. There was talk a little bit of, does Tennessee bring him? No, they don't. In my opinion, like Pollard, like Tony Pollard got a hell of a deal in Tennessee. 3 for 24. Like, I think it's a good deal. Like, you look at the money. It's
although
really
it's really
guaranteed.
Not three. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's 2 year. But like, but it's a good. It's a good for the market. And you're seeing an overall theme of the running back market. It's getting going again, which we talked about forever. Like, this running back market wasn't there. It wasn't there. And I do think it's, you have to tie a percentage of the cap to the running backs in your team. And when the cap goes up, ultimately everything else is going to go up. So I don't know if you're seeing like this crazy market for running backs, but I do think that the running back draft class is very poor. So I think there's a lot of people on the market. So that's what got the market moving for running backs. And like you said, no bigger than Derrick Henry. He fits what they do. In my opinion, though, you go back to Tennessee, I just can't get over it. Like, I would rather have Derrick Henry back in Tennessee than Tony Pollard. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, Derrick Henry out of the backfield can catch the football. I just can't wait to see him in that black and purple with a two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson. Like, they just want to run the football. He's going to probably get a career high in carries. He looks healthy, super excited, decent money, 2 years fully. I think it's like nine a year, which is good. So it's been good, man. The running back market for the first time in a long time in free agency has actually moved.
All right, but here's a question I have for you. Which move do you like better? Do you like Saquon going to Philly or Joe Mixon going to Houston?
I think Joe Mixon going to Houston.
I agree. I agree.
It is, like, talk about a guy who has been playing outstanding in his Cincinnati Bengals. And then yesterday comes out, it was like, oh, we're going to cut him. Like, you're not going to cut him. You're putting this out there so teams can know you're going to cut him. So someone will trade for him because you don't want to pay him. I got that. But my gosh, you go and what they're doing in Houston right now is, I mean, dude, Joe Mixon is going to be the guy. They let their guy last year go, and I love it. And when you look at the Saquon situation, it's an interesting thing to me because I do think Saquon was the most sought-after running back. You saw that the Titans and the Bears were in on him as well. But the amount of money, and I'm talking about the guaranteed money, it's a lot. I think it's like $26 million, $27 million for a guy who's been injured. You're sort of overpaying, in my opinion. That's Howie Roseman's season. He loves to make these splash free agent trades, acquires these people. And I do think Saquon will be a difference maker in Philly. And you look at, though, Philly. And this is an interesting point that was brought up to me. Philly ranked number one in run block rate, win rate in the NFL. Means they have the best offensive line at run blocking in the NFL.
Well, Saquon. I mean, Kelsey retiring changes that
That's
dramatically.
A big deal.
Let's be honest.
But you look at the Giants, they were 31st, and Saquon still put up numbers. So think about Saquon behind that offensive line. They just paid Landon Dickerson. They're going to have to figure out the center situation. Lane Johnson, still the best right tackle in all of football. So I love this move for that, but I just think you overpaid. So that's why I love Joe Mixon to the Texans, what he brings, the scat back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield from C.J. Stroud. He's an excellent blocker, not talked about enough as a running back. He's an excellent blocker, so I do love that move.
Here's the one thing before we move on, and I want to acknowledge this. The brotherly shove, the tush push, whatever you want to call it, it worked because Jason Kelce started it. And Jalen Hurts finished it, okay? People do not – I mean, if it was that easy, everybody would have the success that the Eagles have had with it. And they haven't because Kelce was an undersized center who knew how to use leverage. And he was amazing at it. He was amazing at getting leverage on that play. And you have a power lifter in Jalen Hurts behind you. You know, you can go back and look at his squats. I mean, go look at his workouts. They're ridiculous, okay?
Totally.
His squats were insane. So when you take half of that equation out, I'm telling you, do not expect the brotherly shove to be as automatic this year as it was the last couple of years because Jason Kelce was a huge part of that. And you suddenly, if you're an Eagles fan, you can't just say, oh, we're going to get it. Because you're not. Because Jason Kelce started it and Jalen Hurts finished it. Just wanted to put that out there for people sort of to go through their mind as they're beginning to understand the impact of what you say when someone like Jason Kelce retires.
Speaking of Travis, hold on, before we move on, speaking of Jason Kelce, this isn't even in the rundown, so you're going to be like, what the hell? But
I don't care.
So Jason Kelce is, yeah, rundown. Jason Kelce is probably the most, and you need to answer this because you are the king of football and media. Obviously for all your years at ESPN, like you were who I grew up watching. So once again, glad I'm here with you. But Jason Kelce is the most sought after free agent in the media right now. And it's not even close. You look at Amazon, you look at ESPN, CBS, NBC, all major networks have met with him. Where do you think he fits in? And then single-handedly, do you think Bill Belichick or Jason Kelce is going to be a better sports media star?
Well, I think Kelce will be a better media star. Bill's interesting, right? I know that Omaha Productions has been wooing Bill. And I will tell you this. A lot of people that I know that played for Bill say he has the most underrated sense of humor that you could possibly imagine. Like, he's really he just doesn't let people see it. Like, he doesn't, if you're in the club with Bill, you're in the club and you see it.
That makes sense.
All of us are outside the club. I think Jason will be better because Jason's, Jason's more likable than Bill, right?
Yeah.
Right away, people are like, oh, Jason Kelce, you're the shirtless guy that did this and you wore the Lucador mask and you do all these things and, Bill's still the evil galactic empire. So, and he'll soften people with that, but Kelce far and away, because Kelce can do anything, right? Like, for example, I think there was one time this year where Big Wit and Kelce went somewhere in Philadelphia and just got cheesesteaks somewhere, right?
Yes.
Bill's not doing that, okay? Bill will break down a game for you. Bill will do all these kind of things, and he'll do it better than anybody. And it'll be really good football analytics. Yes. Jason can get the non-football crowd. Oh, there's that cuddly guy with the beard. And he drank the beer in front of Taylor Swift. Yeah, that's the thing that Jason will bring to the equation that Bill just will, whether he wants to or not, he will choose not to do that. Like, he had fun at the Army-Navy game where he put the helmet on, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. It's not going to be like what Jason Kelce is going to do.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that kind of stuff. So I think Jason will be much more ingratiated into our football psyche. Okay, so now the most important move for you so far in free agency that didn't involve a quarterback, what was it? Now, I got a boring one, but I think it's accurate.
You
think about it for a second. Yeah. Chris Jones. It's Chris Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's Chris Jones. They found a way to get it done, and it might cost them. I mean, Willie Gay's probably gone. There's probably a Mike Dann is probably gone from Kansas City, and they'll have to get some guys in there. You had to keep Chris Jones. I've said this 100 times, and this is why they put the non-exclusive tag on Jerry Sneed. And they still may find a way to keep him. But they've been preparing to lose Legarius with the draft they've had the last couple of years, okay?
Well, I agree.
Let me just say, you take out a cover corner can take out one receiver. A pass rush can take out all of them. Takes out all of them. So, that's to true. Me, if you're going to pay somebody, let's pay the guy that can eliminate all the options instead of one. And look, Sneed is an amazing corner, don't get me wrong. But the idea that Andy is back, Mahomes is back, Kelce is back, and Chris Jones is back. The Chiefs kept – and by the way, I love that they've already signed Drew Tranquil. That was a great sign.
Oh, my gosh. And got him for a great steal, too.
Much like – Chris Jones got paid, but he wanted to stay. Drew Tranquil made it clear he wanted to stay. Yeah. Willie Gay's probably gone. There's a bunch of guys on that defense that are probably gone. But you had to – if you're serious about wanting to three-peat, you cannot let Chris Jones leave the building. And I think that to me has been the most impactful signing, even though it's not the splashy one because it's not somebody moving somewhere else. No, Chris Jones staying is far and away the biggest non-quarterback move so far this offseason.
That's a good point. And also, like, I'm super fascinated to see what happens with Sneed. Like who is, are they going to be able to keep him? Is someone going to sign or trade and sign for him? I don't know. Mine probably – I don't know if mine necessarily is a player – more so a team, and that team's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Tampa has had a hell of a free agency.
Evans and Baker.
Two of their own, Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield played his ass off. He deserved the contract that he got. But none other, I know you love this guy, Mike Evans, to me, makes the most sense to be able to stay there. As soon as you got Mike Evans done, it was like, all right, Baker's coming back. Because when you have a guy like that to sign, like, and really retire a buck, like, to me, that is a big deal. So I love what they did. And they also traded Carlton to, I forgot who they traded
Detroit.
Him to.
But Detroit.
Detroit. Which is great. They got $14 million off the books, and they also got a third-round draft pick for someone that they weren't going to keep. He struggled in zone. Detroit's starting to play more man. It makes sense for Detroit. But to be able to sign Evans, to sign Baker, and to get a third-round pick, to me, they won free agency.
I agree. And, you know, they – and by the way, Jason Light, the general manager, was great at the combine walking around. Hey, you were the one that said we win three games. Hey, you were the one.
That was
like,
awesome.
Kudos. But by the way, keep also receipts. Proves all of us know nothing, okay? None of us know anything. Like, I would have bet the house that the Bucs would have been one of the worst teams in football last year. Yeah. And instead, they won their division and won a playoff game against the Eagles. So who knows? All right. So now let's get to the – wait, what portion of the program? In your mind, what's the biggest head-scratcher so far through this free agency process?
The Dallas Cowboys. They haven't done anything. Actually, I take that back. They have signed a long snapper.
Okay.
Since this filming.
Because
that's it.
Because that was their glaring need. That was their glaring need in that playoff loss. Like, I go back to that playoff loss to the Packers, and I think the long snapping was not up to snuff. So if you're a Cowboy fan, if you're a Cowboy fan, Chase, here's what you need to say to Jerry Jones. You, sir, are a liar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do not.
We're all in. We are all in.
Dude, they did nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
And they still have to redo Dak's contract,
which will be $60 million a year, I think. And you lose Tony Pollard. You lose your left tackle. Your line gets. You have another guy signed elsewhere in free agency from your offensive line. You haven't done anything.
Biotis is gone. The center's gone.
Yeah, the center. And you don't do it. Like, I don't understand. And look, they're cash strapped. I get it. But those are some pretty big pieces, an RB1 and a left tackle, and you just sign a long snapper, and you're talking about, oh, we got to get under the cap. Okay, you better have a hell of a draft, or you better have a good wave two or three of free agency without a doubt. It's the Dallas Cowboys because you don't have any – Dak might sign a $60 million deal. You don't have anyone to protect his left side, his blind side at all. So I just don't – get it right now, Trey.
Well, I do like that because what you're saying because – they've had three straight 12-win seasons. People are saying that's a winning culture. No, it's not a winning culture in Dallas. It's not a winning culture. It hasn't been a winning culture since the 90s. And if you think for the Dallas Cowboys, they have five Lombardi trophies. Okay, the Patriots have six. The Steelers have six. Yep. They and the 49ers have five. That's their standard. Their standard is to get to – they haven't been to a championship game in over 30 years. That's not a winning culture. So you keep Mike McCarthy – after, you know, they had won the most home games, second most home games in franchise history.
Yeah.
They had the best home record in football last year. They had the best offense. They had the best turnover margin. They had the best point differential at home. And they get waxed by a guy, basically Jordan Love, who played great, and the Green Bay Packers, who were in this for the first time. This is not a winning culture. Everything you're saying is proving that you are the exact opposite of what you say you are. The Chiefs, they're showing you they're all in. The Cowboys, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but it does not look good in any way, shape, or form for the Dallas Cowboys at this point. My head scratcher is the Carolina Panthers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's pretty clear nobody wants to go there. All right, and what did they give up? What did they get for Brian Burns to the Giants? By kudos to the Giants for getting it. A second and a fifth. Wasn't that what they got for Brian Burns?
Yeah.
Didn't they have an offer from the Rams last year for a couple of ones for
two
Brian Burns?
Two firsts and a third.
And by the way,
they didn't take it.
And the Rams, and we should understand that the Rams probably dispense of their number ones more than any other team in the history of football. So this will be an unusual situation for them. They're going to have a first round pick this year, but this is another example of a bad organization. Okay, you had two ones and a three for Brian Burns, and you passed then. And now, when you realize we're not going anywhere, we're not any good, we're going to get a second and a fifth instead. That's the definition of a franchise that is just adrift without a rudder.
That's so true. And not only that, right, but you go out and and first of all, like, in my opinion, watching the Panthers on film last year, it was difficult. They needed receivers. they have Adam Thielen. That's it. Yeah. I don't understand. They went out and they went paid big money to two starting guards. Obviously, Bryce Young, franchise guy, who went number one overall. They want to protect him. I like those moves, but I need more weapons for my guy Bryce, along with the Brian Burns trade. Just like, leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
Look, David Tepper's great at hedge funds, but I'd hedge your bets against the Panthers being any good anytime soon. Okay, and nobody wants to go there. They see what's going on. The guy throws – your owner's throwing drinks on fans. Grow up. Just grow up.
Not a good look.
All right, so let's wrap this up as we're getting closer and closer to the draft, and we'll keep doing this every week. Your biggest draft storyline heading into this week, what do you think it is?
Well, I mean, it just goes back to quarterbacks, right? It's like Atlanta picks at 8. They have a quarterback. I probably think, unless they're in love with one of the guys that can sit for 2 years behind Kirk, they're probably out. They'll probably go position of need, best available at 8, because there's going to be some tackles. There's going to be some receivers. I don't know. They don't really need one because they paid Mooney. Doesn't make sense for it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there, along with two teams, okay? The Broncos and the Vikings. They pick 11 and I think 12 in the draft. Who is that guy from the quarterback level of the guys you mentioned earlier? Caleb Williams is probably going to go. Jaden Daniels won't be there. Okay, so other than those two, Drake May, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy,
Bo Nix,
all those guys, okay, are lobbying for QB3. I don't think Drake May is just some fit right there in QB3. He's very raw. He's got a great arm, but he hasn't played a lot. He's very inexperienced. He could be a guy that needs to sit for a year or two, the Jordan Love plan. Or Patrick Mahomes' plan too. He sat for a year. Look how good he is.
Mm-hmm. Worked out.
But I do think the battle for quarterback 3, and you're hearing, and I'm hearing, and everyone's hearing, J.J. McCarthy just keeps rising up draft boards. It's all the rage. It's all the talk. I literally just did a breakdown of him in the Alabama game. I liked him more than I thought. I haven't watched a lot of film on him. And look, the reason you're hearing this, Trey, and I want to be able to say this, is, okay, look, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, consensus 1-2, I think, in my opinion, and talking to people. But what you don't realize and what people don't realize is the reason you're hearing this, Drake May was the top quarterback forever, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe not. Or J.J. McCarthy's like way down because of his inexperience. Now he's moving up draft boards. Now Bo Nix is a forgotten. Like all this hearsay, dude, teams, I know for a fact, have not – watched all of their games. They just started watching these quarterbacks play, the decision makers, like right before the combine, which was two weeks ago. And so that's why you're starting to hear this, because teams are starting to finally firm up their opinion of guys. Now, there's a lot of people that don't work for teams that have been watching these guys, and there's their list. It doesn't matter what analysts' lists are. It matter what the team thinks. They just started watching it. So, in my opinion, who's that quarterback 3? Can J.J. McCarthy move up? Can Bo Nix move up? Michael Penix isn't talked about enough. All that, I think, is going to be really interesting to follow.
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you said that, because you know the biggest lie you can spot when somebody's on social media or on TV somewhere? You know the biggest lie? I've watched every single snap of his season. Every single snap of his season.
Lie.
That is so full of shit. Okay, whenever you hear somebody, I've heard a few people. I'm not mentioning their names, but I heard you
talking about.
I heard you.
I heard you too.
I heard you, and you're saying I've seen every single snap last season. That is complete and utter bullshit. Okay, no one outside of a scout somewhere that is locked in a freaking film,
locked
room.
In a room,
and that's and all he does, So whenever you hear one of these analysts on TV or one of these pundits get on social media, well, I've seen every single snap. You are full of shit. Okay, that is not true, and you know it, and I know it, and now everyone knows that we all know it. So don't say it. Don't say it. You can say I've watched a lot of tape. You can say I've really done extensive research on him. That's fine. But when someone plays the I've watched every single snap card, send that bullshit back, return to sender, address unknown, okay?
That's awesome.
Put it right in the spam file. That's garbage. All right, Maya, sorry. That's awesome. You know who you are, by the way.
Yeah,
you know who you are.
Know it.
My biggest thing is I'm curious to see just how many wide receivers are going to be top-notch wide receivers. Because look, like the Chiefs found gold in Rashee Rice in the second round, I believe, last year.
Second round.
They're going to need to do that again because they're not going to get one of these big names. They might get a in the second or third wave of free agents, they'll get a Juju Smith-Schuster type, and that turned out to be enough for Patrick Mahomes last year. But I'm curious to see how many of these wide receivers turn out to be really, really top-end guys in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of guys – receiver-wise. And keep an eye on Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. Those Texas duo, like, I think they're going in the first round. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. There might be 7, 8, 9 receivers in the first round. That's why you're not seeing really any receiver deals done in free agency because the draft is so deep.
All right, and we'll end on this note because I don't think we did this the last time. Did we do 40 times with you last time? I don't think so.
No.
I'm going to read to you the list of the top 15 fastest 40 times recorded in NFL Combine history. Now, I'm sure Deion was faster, but it wasn't done, so we can't, it's not this.
Tell me how many of these panned out.
You get where I'm going. You mentioned Xavier Worthy. I think he has a chance to be really good. He's the
really
fastest.
Really good. Yeah.
John Ross, Kalen Barnes, Chris Johnson, Dree Archer, Tariq Woolen, DJ Turner, Marquise Goodwin, Henry Ruggs, Jacoby Ford, J.J. Nelson, Jalen Myrick, Tyquan Thornton, Nate Wiggins, Zedrick Woods, and Haviland Guidry? I don't even know. Is it Javelin or Haviland? The point being,
not a lot.
It doesn't mean anything. Okay? Like, we all go nuts for it at the combine because it's sexy and it's fun. It doesn't mean dip. Okay? Chris Johnson was a very good player. I believe Xavier Worthy could be a very good player. If Henry Ruggs hadn't had his off-field issues, maybe he would have been okay. The rest of it is, like, Tariq Woolen has been good. It's a bunch of nobodies, okay? So don't get deceived by these 40 times. Because, first of all, you never run – very rarely do you run 40 yards in a straight line in a football game, right? No. You never do. And I love the fact that we make offensive linemen run the 40. If an offensive lineman's running a 40, it's because there's been an interception or a fumble.
It's an interception or a fumble.
I need to know, can they move 5 yards? That's what I need to know. Give me a 10-yard split from the offensive lineman and I'm fine. So just – I mentioned this because you mentioned Worthy, and I think he has a chance to be really good. Yeah. But don't just think because he ran fast, he's going to be great. I just ran the list of all the fastest, and they're 90% complete busts as opposed to being any good.
Good point.
And on that happy note, on the upside, we'll see you next week for Chasing It.